Opening day, we're all getting ready for the Tribe of the Kansas City Royals, and it's time now for our Chats with Rosie, Jim Rosenhaus, that is, with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, and our sit-downs with Rosie are brought to you by EcoTree Services and North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rosie, we're all excited for opening day. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
Well, so far so good. We're finally talking about baseball games that count, so that can't be a bad thing. And, you know, we were looking over the last 5 or 6 days to find out who was going to make the cut on opening day and who wasn't. There were some difficult decisions to be made, and one of the names missing on the opening day roster, Jake Bowers, who's going to be sent to the satellite camp over in Lake County. And, you know, thinking about this, Rosie, not quite sure if it was more what guys like Zimmer and Chang did over maybe something that Bowers didn't do. Taking a look at that, observing him in summer camp the last couple of weeks, do you think there was anything more to it than that?
No, not at all. And I think if Chang and Zimmer, and maybe more specifically Zimmer, because you know there's that outfield overlap for Bowers and Zimmer, had they not had the summer camps that they did, I don't know that decision would have been the same. So, you know, there's really, I don't think Bowers has enough of a major league track record to be in a position where if something like that were to happen, the results were what they were. So, and I think Tito kind of alluded to that yesterday. It wasn't necessarily Jake not playing well, but Zimmer and Chang came in here and beat the door down. I mean, they made the decision for the coaches. And so someone had to be the odd man out. And, you know, they still believe in Jake Bowers, but at least at this point in time, they want the other guys on the roster. And also Tito acknowledged that it's not a perfect system. They're trying to do the best they can with a very small sample size in an unusual situation. So they just try and make the best decisions they can and be honest and conscientious with the players when they tell them bad news. They might be wrong, but this is what they, with all the information that they have, and it's convoluted, and there's a short summer camp and a spring training 3 months ago, and guys coming off of injuries, all that kind of stuff that goes into it. That's what led to the decisions, and they just do the best that they can with what they have to work with.
Well, depending on who you talk to, some people think that the bullpen may end up being one of the weak links on this team. I'm not so sure that I agree, because there are some names in that group that can't help but get you excited, and I think the first guy that should emerge at the top of that list would be James Karinchak. Boy, Rosie, he looked fantastic in the games in which he pitched against the Pirates, and really it seems like he's picked up right where he left off at the end of last season.
I think that's fair to say, Bull. Looked really good when we saw him on Monday night pitching the ninth inning, and then did it again last night. And, you know, are there going to be some outings where he can't find the plate? Probably, but he's doing what he can to make those fewer and fewer. And it's exciting because the stuff is ridiculous. The curveball's just, you know, death on whether you're a right-handed or a left-handed hitter. And he throws plenty hard enough. You know, he said at some point he might be able to get 100 on the radar gun. So you have that kind of arm with that kind of breaking stuff. If you can have any semblance of control, you could really have a big year. And I think that's what's really exciting. And, you know, Bull, just getting back to what you said at the top about the bullpen, I agree with you. I think it is an area of concern, but I think it was heading into the season a year ago. I think there were some major question marks because it was going to be the first season in a while without Cody Allen, Andrew Miller, and Brian Shaw. And the Indians ended up, I want to say they were second lowest bullpen ERA in the American League. So, you know, I think Tito was found a way to make everybody the best they could be, and he used them really, really well. And so that's certainly something to consider as the season begins.
Sticking with the bullpen for another moment here, Rosie, there was a gentleman that you named a few weeks ago when we had you on the show in Cam Hill. And you mentioned that he's one of those guys I think the Indians are very excited about, and he could surprise some people. He made the opening day roster. What is it about him that the Tribe really seems to like coming out of the bullpen?
Well, good stuff to start with. Good fastball, good curve. And then really good confidence. He believes in himself. When he goes to that mound, he may get beat, but he believes in his stuff, and he's not afraid to pitch. And by that, I mean, you won't see him walk a lot of people because he's afraid of contact. He believes in his stuff, so he's going to throw strikes with it. And that's really all you can ask for. And he's going to let the hitters decide if he's good enough to be in the big leagues or not. He's not going to help him out. So there's some good confidence there, good stuff. And that's what the Indians have seen from him. They just really, this might have been 2 years ago for him. But then his elbow started barking, and he had Tommy John surgery. So they really were just kind of waiting for that process of rehab from Tommy John to be complete and see if that was there again. And it's actually the stuff's a tick better. So that's what they're excited about with Cam Hill.
Again, we're catching up with Jim Rosenhaus on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our chats with Rosie are brought to you by Eco Tree Services and North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rosie, we'll come back around to the outfield here. Franmil Reyes obviously was having a sensational spring training. He was just tearing the cover off the ball before the virus hit. After watching him the last couple of weeks, do you get the impression that maybe he's picked up right where he left off in summer camp?
I think that's. I don't know. He was really good in spring training. I don't know if we've seen that yet, but pretty close. So, yeah, I mean, he's right where he needs to be, I think, as a hitter. The difference being, they were really committed, I think, to getting a good long look at him in the outfield in spring training. And he was a little bit late getting started with summer camp. So then he slid awkwardly in one of the first inter-squad games, and they wanted to be careful. So bottom line is he didn't play much outfield, if at all, in summer camp. So there's still that gray area as to how much they'll use him out there. Had it been a normal spring, the way it was going, I think you might have seen him out there quite a bit because it was going okay. But now there's been a pretty good lag time, and they didn't really use him there. And they could have a really good defensive outfield here, if they want to go. Say they go Naquin, Mercado, Zimmer in a lot of games. That would be a really good defensive outfield. So I think there's something to that when you have the good pitching that they have. And then just let Franmil worry about hitting. And the results are usually pretty good. So I think you're okay with that. But maybe somewhere along the line we'll see him more in the outfield. But certainly at the plate he looks good.
And while we're on that topic too, does it seem like he's going to share some of the DH duties with Domingo Santana? I know that's another name they'd like to work into the outfield at one of the corner spots if they could. But as you mentioned, without Reyes playing a whole lot in the outfield in summer camp, does it seem like Santana, if he's going to get opportunities at the dish, he's probably going to have to play one of the corner outfield spots at the start?
Yes, because Reyes is an everyday player. He's not sharing, if he's the full-time DH, he's not sharing that with anybody. That he's in that lineup every day. So Domingo Santana would be, Tito has some decisions on a nightly basis on who's playing the outfield and trying to keep everybody sharp. And Santana certainly would be in that mix. So we'll see how it goes, but I got to believe Reyes is in there just about every game.
Well, as long as we're on the topic of the outfield here, too, you mentioned Tyler Naquin and you mentioned Jordan Luplo earlier. He looked pretty sharp, at least on Monday. And of course, he had the back injury that kept him out for a little while. But is it safe to say that early indications are that Naquin and Luplo may platoon at one of those corner outfield spots?
Maybe a little bit. And, I think left field is still kind of up for grabs, too. So, maybe they'll play more than just a strict platoon, but I think Naquin's going to get a lot of at-bats. So is Mercado. And then where they fill in everybody else, we'll see. But I think it might be okay. I know in the offseason, everyone's saying, what are they going to do with the outfield? And what are they going to do with the bullpen? But I don't know. I feel like that stuff always works itself out somehow, and they end up having a pretty good team. So I think that'll happen here.
And you mentioned this a few moments ago, Rosie, that on a nightly basis, Tito's going to have a number of difficult decisions to make, especially with that outfield. The infield, as we all know, is cemented. There's no doubt about that. But when you look at that outfield, I mean, you've got guys that can do a little something different. You know, one of the guys we haven't talked about just yet is Greg Allen, and you can't help but think that late in the game, if the Indians are trying to protect the lead, that might be a guy they call on. He's got experience at all three outfield spots, but that might be one of Tito's most difficult tasks, won't it? I mean, trying to figure out who makes the most sense against a certain pitcher, and I think just trying to figure out the matchups with his outfielders as well. That seems like that might be the most challenging aspect of what Tito has to do on a nightly basis, at least early on.
I think you're right. I mean, you think about it, like, say it's Naquin, Mercado, and Luplo, or Santana in left on opening night. That means on your bench, you have Zimmer, Delino DeShields, Greg Allen. Who am I missing? I think I'm missing one more. So you have a lot of options. His life's going to get a lot easier when the roster gets cut from 30 to 26 because one or two of those outfielders will not be a part of the team once that happens. There's no question about that. But right now you have that luxury to use, and you know, they have 17 straight to start this thing. So he's going to want to be careful jumping in too quick with some guys. So that'll be helpful. But right now it's not going to be easy. But maybe that's a good thing because, you know, I think he certainly feels confident in just about everybody on that roster right now.
Well, Rosie, it'll be very interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. Hopefully we're not talking about a 60-game season ever again, but this year it's going to be so much different, and I think people are also interested in seeing how things are going to work out over in Lake County at the satellite site. Have they given you any indication as to how they're going to work that? Do they plan on having inter-squad games out there every night? Are they going to try and handle that like maybe an extended spring training?
From what I've heard, and this was early on, so it may have changed, but at least early on, they kind of wanted that camp to mirror the summer camp activities that were happening here. And then I think they wanted to mirror game times and things like that for inter-squad games, similar to what the Indians are in. Now, there'll be three players who get to travel with and be on site with the Indians from that taxi squad in case they have to put someone on the injured list or the COVID list. So there'll be three guys who wouldn't be there. But I think once they get the games going, they want it to be very similar on a daily basis to what the big league club is doing. And that's the last I heard. It may have changed. I may be able to tell you more next week when we get a little more insight into it. But it's certainly fascinating to think about, you know, almost a whole nother roster is just a 20-minute drive away from downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, this whole season is going to be very interesting for sure, and we are looking forward to getting things going a little bit later on tonight. Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by. We look forward to the conversation again next week, and we look forward to your call later on tonight.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us. Our Conversations with Rosie brought to you by Eco Tree Services, your complete tree care company, and by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rocco Nucci and I need to step aside and take a break, but we will come back with more on our Bullseye on Opening Day special presented by Eco Tree Services and Achieve Credit Union here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.